Across the rugged Indian territory rides a tall young man on a mission of mercy, his medical bag strapped on one hip, his six-shooter on the other. This is Dr. Six Gun. National Broadcasting Company brings you another episode in the exciting adventure series, Dr. Six Gun. Gray Madsen, M.D., was the gun-toting frontier doctor who roamed the length and breadth of the old Indian territory. Friend and physician to white and Indian alike, the symbol of justice and mercy in the lawless west of the 1870s, this legendary figure was known to all as Dr. Six Gun.
The town of Frenchman's Ford is a place of strangers. At almost any time of the year, there are more strangers on the streets and in the saloon than there are residents. Depending on the season, you can find cavalry troopers from the post to the west, cattle buyers from as far away as Abilene and even Chicago, cow punchers up from the long trail out of Texas, and even such strange fish as me. And who am I? I am Pablo, the gypsy peddler. And this is Midnight, my friend.
Midnight, hello.
He's a raven, too. He's a stranger.
I'll come back, wait. Landlord will hear us.
As you can see, he is an experienced traveler. And so, a stranger riding into the town of Frenchman's Ford causes only mild interest and very few questions. I was sitting with my friend Doc Six Gun at his favorite table in the Bull Run Saloon one day. Doc was eating supper and I was drinking lunch, as I had been on the road without time for refreshment. A stranger walked in. He stopped at the bar, ordered a drink, spoke for a moment to O'Shea behind the bar, and then came over to our table.
Evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I trust I'm not intruding.
Why, no. What can I do for you?
The gentleman behind the bar tells me you're a physician.
That's right.
Allow me to introduce myself. Captain Rafe Langdon.
I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Langdon. I'm Gray Madsen.
Captain Langdon, if you don't mind. It's a small thing, but I find it of great importance.
Oh, I'm sorry, Captain. Military title?
That's right. Cavalry.
I take it you're retired from active service.
That's putting it mildly, Doctor. My commission is in the Army of the Confederate States of America.
Oh. Well, we have a lot of men who have fought here in the territory, both sides, north and south. We get along mostly.
Of course. Doctor, I wish to consult you on a professional matter, if I may.
Of course, Captain Langdon. Pablo...
By a strange coincidence, Doc, having finished my lunch, I must now ask O'Shea to pour my supper. I'll see you later, Doc.
Doctor, I presume you're acquainted with the treatment of gunshot wounds.
That's one of the major parts of my practice, Captain. That and delivering babies.
Well, I'm not likely to call in your services in that capacity. But as to the first, I require some treatment.
You've got a bullet wound?
I have.
Well, maybe we'd better go over to my office.
Excellent idea, Doctor. I'm afraid the stage ride from Chisholm City is not the best of health measures for a wound.
Well, that ride isn't very healthy, even if you're not carrying a bullet. Well, come on, Captain. We'll get over to my place and see what we can do. Well, now, that about does it, Captain. I'll just put the bandage on.
It feels worse.
Well, that's because of the probing. It'll get better now, unless inflammation sets in. How long have you been carrying that bullet around?
Oh, about 2 weeks.
Well, you should have had it looked at. You could have lost that arm.
I had other matters to occupy my time.
Well, you want to keep this bullet as a souvenir?
Not particularly, Doctor. I'm not sentimental.
It's a funny one. I pulled a lot of bullets out of men in this town, but I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before. It's round, like an old-fashioned pistol ball.
That's just what it is, Doctor.
You're lucky. About a half an inch to one side, and it would have cracked the bone. I guess whoever shot you must have had some kind of old-fashioned gun and couldn't aim well.
On the contrary, the weapon was a finely balanced French dueling pistol. Quite accurate.
Dueling pistol? How'd you happen to get shot with a dueling pistol?
In a duel.
Oh? What happened to the other fellow?
He's dead. I told you the weapons were quite accurate. In the hands of a competent marksman.
I take it you're such a marksman.
I think that's evident, Doctor. Otherwise, I'd be dead and you might be treating the other man.
Well, that'll take care of the wound. If I were you, I'd give it a rest for a while. Stay in town for at least a week. I don't think that arm will take much more jolting, not if you want it to last.
It'll last long enough. But my plans are to stay in this vicinity in any case.
Oh, figuring on settling in Frenchman's Ford?
In a manner of speaking, yes. There is something here that I have to settle.
Business, I expect.
Not business, Doctor. Honor.
Captain Rance Langdon stayed in Frenchman's Ford for the next several weeks. He took a room at the hotel above the livery stable and spent his days sitting quietly at the Bull Run, his arm resting in his silken kerchief, drinking more or less consistently from a bottle that he himself brought to the saloon and placed behind the bar. And in the evenings, he would sit at the table with Doc with his special bottle of bourbon, and they would talk.
Well, I agree with you, Doctor, completely. I find I can't sympathize with those who continue to fight the Battle of the Confederacy long after the war's over.
Why, I'm a little surprised to hear you say that, Captain.
Why?
Well, for one thing, the way you still use your rank. Most of the men I've met who are still calling themselves Major or Colonel tend to die pretty hard. Why, it wasn't but 4 months ago that big mirror behind the bar got broken in Pickett's charge.
Oh, regrettable, Doctor, regrettable. As for my using my military title, it's a point of honor with me. I consider my commission a distinction which I'm pleased to remember. It does not mean that I'm unaware that it's an empty title. I pride myself on being a sensible and civilized man, Doctor. I'm not a moth to go beating against the flame of a lost cause until it singe my wings.
I wish there were more men here in the territory with that kind of sense, Captain.
I've been meaning to ask you, Doctor. I had heard that there was an old acquaintance of mine living in the vicinity. A man from my home county.
Is that right? What's his name? Maybe I know him.
I was hoping you might. Carver.
Carver? Well, now, let's see. I do know one or two Carvers. What's the name of your Carver?
I don't know.
You don't?
You see, I've never met him. Actually, he's the son of an old acquaintance. I was especially asked to look him up.
About how old a fellow would he be?
Oh, young man, probably about 25.
Well, most of the fellows that age in these parts are about punching cows on one of the big spreads to the north. I ride circuit every now and again. If I run across a fellow named Carver who seems to fill your bill, I'll let you know.
Do that, Doctor, if you will. I'm quite anxious to meet him.
Any particular message for me to give him, if I see him?
Oh, nothing in particular. You might just tell him that a Langdon is looking for him. One of the Langdons from Rance County.
Langdon continued to spend his time like a gentleman at the Bull Run, consuming his own good whiskey and paying O'Shea for the privilege. About a week later, Doc left to ride the circuit up through the Three Forks country, and I went with him to dispense ribbons and laces and needles in the wake of Doc's pills and bitter medicines. We had stopped at the circle, out past the Arroyo Grande, where a horse wrangler had lost an argument with a half-broken bronc, and while Doc set his leg, the rest of the hands stood around to watch.
There, that'll hold you.
Yeah, you done a good job on him, Doc.
Well, I had to be careful when I set that leg.
How do you mean, Doc?
Why, if I'd set it straight, he'd be out of a job.
Yeah?
But don't worry, they're both as bow-legged as they ever were. Well, that's about all. Unless one of you other fellas cares to oblige me by breaking something while I'm here to save me the trip.
You're a real car, Doc. Real funny.
Hey, say, excuse me a minute, will you? I want to tell Cookie to rassle up a can of beans to take out to the night herd.
Where's he riding?
In the Box Canyon, up about a mile to north. We got a herd of strays penned in there, and he's riding them out to the canyon.
Oh, I'm heading out that way. Why don't I take his grub out to him?
Well, would you do that, Doc? It's real nice here.
Who is it? Old Walleye Johnson?
No. Old Walleye got himself killed last spring by a longhorn.
Oh.
This here's a new fella named Carver. Yeah, comes from the south somewheres. So, oh, you little doggy, settle down for the night. Yo, ho.
Hey,
I got some grub.
Hey, hush now, stranger, hush. Unless you want a herd of longhorns coming out at you.
Oh, there.
Take it easy, friend. I just got these little critters bedded down for the night. I've been singing them a sweet little lullaby that I made up myself. Now, don't you go riling them now.
Sorry. I brought you out your grub. Here.
Thank you kindly. Who are you, mister?
Dr. Matson. I just set Charlie Adams' leg.
It's right kind of you, Doc, to tote me out the victual.
Well, I wanted to see you. Your name's Carver, isn't it?
That's right. Alvin Carver. Some call me Al, some call me Ben. Take your choice.
And you're from Rance County?
That's right. How'd you all know that?
Why, I got a message for you.
Is that right?
From an old friend of yours. He's over at Frenchman's Ford now. He comes from your home county.
Well, now, I ain't seen nobody from home for 4 years since I drifted up to these parts. Oh, look out, Doc. Look out now. It's one old highbinder looking cross-eyed at me.
So now, you little doggie, just settle down slow, 'cause there ain't none of us got no place to go.
Well, he told me to tell you that he was looking for you. Said I should tell you that he was a Langdon from Rance County.
What?
That's what he said. That's his name, Langdon. Rance Langdon. Named after the county, I imagine.
No, Doc. The county was named after him. Leastwise, after his granddaddy.
You know him, then?
No, I ain't never seen him. I wasn't but 16 when I left home, and he was gone then in the war.
Oh. Well, anyway, he's looking for you.
You know, Doc, beans don't hardly hold their heat at all no more.
Carver, what's the matter?
Doc, you want to do me a big favor?
What is it?
Suppose you just forget about bringing me this grub, huh?
I don't follow you.
Suppose you just forget about seeing me. I mean, when you talk to Rance Langdon.
But why?
Look, Doc, I ain't one of those wild-eyed cowpokes that come up from Texas with their pants dragged down at their knees by 2 6-shooters. My job is taking care of them crazy longhorns. Don't think I ever fired a gun in anger, except maybe at a rattlesnake or some other varmints. I just plain ain't got the desire to go into no gunfights. Now, you may figure that's kind of cowardly of me. And likely you'd be right. But I just ain't got the guts for it. And I'm not ashamed of it. So, you just don't bother telling Rance Langdon you saw me here.
All right. But I don't understand it.
Doc, like I said, I ain't never laid eyes on him and he ain't on me. But if he does, sure as I'm sitting here eating cold beans, he's gonna kill me.
Later, Doc came back to Frenchman's Ford, leaving behind him a trail of newborn babies, splinted arms and legs, and bandaged wounds. As he sat at his table at the Bull Run, Captain Rance Langdon left the game of poker at the big round table and came over and joined him.
Evening, Doctor.
Oh, Captain Langdon.
Have a successful trip?
More or less. I only lost one patient.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
One of the Peyton kids. That's Homestead family, about 40 miles from here. I couldn't understand it. Still don't know what it was. Child ran a fever, not too hot. Had some headache. Complained of stiffness and her back hurt. Then, just a little while later, she couldn't move. And she stopped breathing.
Oh.
Wasn't anything I could give her. I just don't know what it was. Well, it's not the first patient I've lost and won't be the last.
You prefer him to die of something you can understand?
I suppose that's it.
Doc, do you recall the errand I asked you to do for me?
Oh, you mean looking for that fella, what was his name?
Carver.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't suppose you ran across him?
Why, no, no. It's a big territory.
Well, you needn't bother about it anymore, Doctor.
Oh?
I found him.
You have?
He's working as a cowhand at the Circle A Ranch. Cook came in to load up supplies, stopped in for a drink here, and mentioned Carver's name.
You sure it's the right one?
Funny thing. Cook said you'd been at Circle A. Odd you didn't run into Carver.
Well, maybe he was out on the range.
Yes, I suppose that's possible.
Langdon, why are you looking for this Carver fellow?
I told you. I've been asked to locate him.
Yes, but why?
Does it matter to you?
Oh, I was just wondering.
By the way, Doctor, I expect to be leaving Frenchman's Ford tomorrow morning. I'd appreciate it if you'd give me your bill for services.
All right, I'll do that. Heading back east?
Doctor, are you really interested?
Look, Langdon, I didn't tell you the truth. I did see Carver. I gave him your message. He asked me not to tell you.
He did?
He said something else. He said he'd never seen you, and you'd never seen him.
Why, that's correct.
But that you would try to kill him.
I will not try, Doctor.
You mean you will?
That's right.
But why? Has he ever done anything to you?
No, I don't think you could say that he's ever done anything to me.
Well, then why on earth would you want to kill him?
Because I must.
That is ridiculous.
You'll permit me to be the judge of that?
Captain Langdon, if you kill a man, you'll have to answer to the law.
Doctor, I've killed many men, and the law is yet to be interested in it.
You mean during the war? That's different.
Yes, during the war, but not solely. Do you recall, Doctor, that when I first met you, I had a bullet in my arm?
Sure, a bullet from a dueling pistol.
The man who put that bullet there, Doctor, was a Carver. Harrison Carver, a cotton broker from New Orleans.
Am I to understand that you've been traveling around the country with the sole purpose of murdering members of the Carver family?
I've killed four of them.
But that's incredible.
Doctor, I don't know if you're acquainted with the importance placed upon matters of honor.
I have seen some pretty touchy tempers here in Frenchman's Ford.
It's not the same thing. Now, I don't feel inclined to go into it further, but don't attempt to get in my way, Doctor. Just as I'm an excellent marksman with a dueling pistol, I'm quite adequate with a modern six-shooter. Now, if you'll give me your bill, I'll see that it's paid before I leave. Good evening, Doctor.
O'Shea.
Oh, hi, Doc.
Listen, my horse is beat. I've been on the circuit for 2 weeks. You still got that black stallion?
You mean the one I took off that gambler from St. Louis for his bill? Yeah, I got him.
Lend him to me, O'Shea.
Well, sure, Doc, but what for? You just got in from the circuit. Got an emergency case somewhere?
I think so. If anybody wants me, they can send it to Circle A. I'll be riding there tonight.
Ride an old paint and I'll lead an old Dan. I'm off for Montana for to throw a hula hand. They feed in the pool.
Water.
Hey, consummate.
Carver.
Who's that? You trying to spook this herd?
It's Dr. Matson.
Oh, howdy, Doc. Somebody else break a leg?
Carver.
You better tell me all about it, whatever it is between you and Rance Langdon. He knows you're here. He's riding out tomorrow to find you.
Well, I reckon there wasn't much chance of ducking him. Listen, I was just to cut out and run the first time I heard it from you. And the chances are he'd have catched up with me sooner or later.
But
anyway.
What's this all about?
I don't suppose there's nothing I can do about it now. It's a shame to hightail, though. Because this here's a good job on this spread. $12 a month. I ain't never had but 10 before.
But what's behind this? There must be some way to stop it.
Doc, I reckon the only way to stop Rance Langdon coming after me is to sneak up behind him and put a bullet in his head. Like I say, Doc, I ain't got the stomach for it.
Now, look here, Carver. I rode all the way out here to warn you, and I think you owe me some kind of an explanation. Why is Rance Langdon after you or any other Carver he can find?
I reckon I wasn't the first. Doc, did he tell you who he got?
Well, he mentioned a cotton broker in New Orleans.
That'd be my pa's cousin, Harrison. He was a nice fella, Cousin Harrison. He used to give us kids sugar sticks when he came to see us.
But why?
Doc, back in Rance County, there's always been the Langdon family, and along with them, the Rances. Between the two of them, I guess they was the county. Before the war, they owned every bit of it that wasn't just too poor and stony to grow cotton on. After the war, things began to change a little bit. Some of the families, like us Carvers, moved down out of the backcountry. Before the war, Carvers weren't no more account in Rance County than a mule in the Langdon plantation. But I had an uncle started a business in Clayton. That's the county seat. He did real well. Reckon he made a lot of money. Leastwise, after the war, he had enough money to buy a big piece of land from the Langdons. That's all they had, land. Langdons didn't hold with the Carvers. They'd sell them the land at a stiff price, but they didn't hold with them.
But that isn't enough reason for a blood feud.
There was a girl in the Langdon family. I don't even recollect her name. She took up with one of us Carvers. She run away with him, and I reckon that started it.
I don't see how.
Well, I suppose you'd say the Langdons figured they'd been sullied. Anyways, Jarvis Langdon went after the Carver that married the girl and killed him. Then one thing led to another.
Then that's what started this feud?
That's right. Old Jarvis, he swore he'd get every one of the Carvers. I reckon he passed it on the Rance on account of Jarvis got killed just before I left the county and come out here.
How old were you when all this happened?
When that girl went off with the Carver fellow, I reckon I was 8 years old or something like that.
And he's going to try to kill you for that?
I reckon. That's incredible.
It's barbarous. I've heard him talk about the foolishness of still fighting the war. He's a civilized man.
Maybe. Anyways, he's a Langdon from Rance County. I suppose I might as well go in and draw my pay and hit the wind.
No, wait a minute. He shouldn't be allowed to run you off like that. Now, look, Carver, suppose you ride into Frenchman's Ford with me. We'll go to the sheriff's office.
Doc, I don't reckon I could do that.
Well, what do you mean? We could have you protected, have Langdon arrested. He must be wanted in New Orleans for the murder there.
I couldn't go to the law.
Why not?
Like I told you, I ain't no gun hand. I ain't no cavalry officer neither, nor a dueler or nothing. I'm just a cowpoke. But on the other hand, I'm from Rance County, too. My family ain't had no honor to speak of. They ain't but hardly had shoes or breeches before 15, 20 years ago. But I ain't going to the law on a thing like this, no. I wouldn't give them Langdons the satisfaction.
Harper, you're as foolish as he is. What are you going to do? Just wait until he catches up with you and kills you so you can prove your family is as stupid and murderous as his?
I reckon it's something like that, Doc.
Well, I'm not going to let you. I'm going to swear out an information against Rance Langdon when I get back to town. I'll have the sheriff hold him, and the marshal at Chisholm City can telegraph New Orleans.
I wouldn't do that, Doctor.
Langdon.
Don't move. The both of you make a fine target in the moonlight. I thought maybe you'd try something like this, Doctor, so I rode out tonight.
Now, listen to me, Langdon.
You've already interfered too much with this matter. Now, please leave this to me.
You can't gun this man down in cold blood. He hasn't done anything to you. Think, Langdon, think. You're an intelligent man. He was an 8-year-old boy when this whole thing started. What could he have to do with dishonoring anybody?
Doctor, you don't understand this at all. The woman in question had no honor or reputation to speak of. She had lost it as thoroughly as possible some years before she married Carver. It's not her honor that's involved, but that of the family. The Langdons of Rance County.
Langdon, you're insane. Even the Apache Indians limit a blood feud to the guilty man. Shooting this boy down is murder.
Oh, but I'm not going to do that, Doctor.
Then why?
You don't understand, Doc. He wouldn't shoot me down this way.
That's right. I'm no assassin. He'll have the same chance as I have. I brought along the dueling pistols. They're perfectly matched. You can have your choice of them, Carver.
I don't reckon it'll make no never mind to me, Langdon.
It's still murder. He doesn't know anything about these weapons, and you've used them.
Get off your horse, Carver.
Now you wait a minute, Mr. Langdon. You just wait a minute.
Now, what are you going to do, Carver? Beg for mercy?
I don't reckon so. I didn't figure to fight nobody. That's why I run off from Rance County. But as long as you brought it to me, I reckon I might as well take you up.
Carver, you're crazy.
Hold on, Doc. You don't understand.
I know. I don't come from Rance County.
Now, don't get the idea I'm thinking of any kind of family honor now, Doc. But just before I left the county, it was one of these high-minded, honorable Langdons who took my pa out of his bed in the middle of the night, and I never did see him again. Leastwise, not alive.
Langdon.
All right, Doctor. Throw down your gun belt.
Langdon.
Go ahead.
All right.
Now, dismount, Carver. Then I'll get down on foot.
Just one thing, Langdon. You're challenging me, is that right?
Yes.
Then I reckon I get the choice of weapons. Is that right?
All right. Here they are. Both pistols, primed and ready. Here, take your choice.
Let me hold this one, Langdon.
Look out with that, Carver. It's a hair trigger.
That's all right, Langdon. You see, I got it pointed straight up to the moon. And if I fired it now, I couldn't hit nothing but empty air.
Come on, Carver. You're wasting time.
It's a mighty pretty moon, ain't it? Looks like I could hit it square if I pulled the trigger.
Carver! Carver!
No, come on, don't! Yo!
You won't get away from me, Carver!
Carver!
Get away from that hurt!
You won't get away from me, Carver!
I'm coming after you! Look out, Langdon! Those panels are going to break! Look out!
Real comfortable, Doc.
It's not a bad break. Your arm will be good as new in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you.
One more thing.
Yes, sir?
You don't have to worry about Langdon anymore. The whole herd went over him.
Yeah, I saw him go down. Doc?
Hmm?
Do you reckon it was all right?
What do you mean?
He was going to fight me with a pistol. And he knew how to use it. I didn't.
Yeah.
But I did have the choice of weapons. He couldn't complain none if I chose a weapon that I knew how to handle and he didn't. A herd of stampeding longhorns. I mean, Doc, I ain't no cavalry officer and I ain't no Langdon of Rance County. I'm just a cowpoke who knows his trade. But I wouldn't want to have done nothing without honor.
You have been listening to Dr. Six Gun. Doc Six Gun is played by Carl Weber and Pablo by William Griffiths. Today's script was written by Ernest Kinoy. Heard in the cast were John Barragray as Captain Rance Langdon, Bob Hastings as Young Carver, and William Keane as O'Shea. Dr. Six Gun is directed by Fred Way. This is Bill Rippey speaking.
Six Gun, starring Carl Weber as the Frontier Doctor with William Griffiths as Pablo, the Wandering Gypsy, has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.